Ladies and gentlemen, we are now seeing the beginnings of another stage of human evolution.
Welcome to X-Cast, the only podcast dedicated to everyone's favorite superheroes, the X-Men.
Welcome, Professor.
And now, on with the show.
Hold on to something.
Welcome to the X-Cast, the only podcast devoted to everyone's favorite superheroes, the X-Men, and the official podcast of InvertedStripes.com. I'm the Phoenix Force, your host, and this is Kitty Pryde and Padmaster.
We're back for a second one. You never thought that would happen.
And I'm here this time. No. Bonus.
It's like...
brilliant.
The best thing ever.
In this episode, we will be having our first interview. It's fan interview, and it will be with the Queen of the Internet, Kat.
So it's a very well-deserved title, that Queen of the Internet.
And also in Cerebro this week, I will be doing the amazing history of Jean Grey, and the sometimes complex history of Jean Grey. Okay, moving on. We also have some mutant mail this week. From some crazy guy that thinks Kitty is on.
Oh, I think he's onto something.
Exactly. You haven't seen the ratings?
Yeah.
We are the best X-Men podcast out there. Number one.
Exactly.
Yeah. That other one.
And we're the best one and the worst
one. The best one, worst one, longest one, shortest one.
But now, on with the show. Pathmaster has got the news this week.
There's everyone breathing a sigh of relief that they know it's not Phoenix doing the news this week.
Yeah, that the news that I did was kind of bad. And the editing I did on the news was very subpar. We also have a brilliant new quote of the week. And we're looking forward to seeing what you guys have to say about it.
Yeah, what you did with the quote of the week. Ooh, exciting.
Okay, without much further ado... let's go over to the news.
We're coming to you live from Washington, where sources say the attack involved one or more mutants.
The leaders of over 200 nations, mutant phenomenon and its impact on our world stage.
Eyewitness accounts are conflicting, but all agree that the falling car was somehow deflected by this strange red flash. Its source is still a mystery.
It's time for the news.
And this week on X3 Movie News, it's me, Pathmaster. We really don't have a lot to talk about here. There's been a lot of pictures going around that were leaked. That's right, they were all leaked, all 30 or so of them. They were not supposed to be out until later this month or early next month. If you're like me, you don't really care because you can't get enough spoilers and you would even skip school or work or quit work or school and maybe murder an entire gang of helpless old ladies just to see the movie without special effects right now. I would definitely do that. Aside from that, we've got two negative reviews recently from Chud.com and FilmThreat.com. I'm not going to get into those, though, because the movie's not even done. If you go to the WonderCon site, it's comic-con.org/WC/, you can see one of six brilliantly made posters for X-Men The Last Stand. They're character shots. There are six of them, one of Angel, Phoenix, Wolverine, Storm, Beast, and Rogue, and they look fan-made. Anyway, check them out. They are amazing. There are three characters that I would like to point out that we have no idea who they're playing. We got Oma Hiramoto, Supermodel, who we have seen in the trailer. We know she's there, but we don't know who she's playing. She was rumored to be Stacy X for a long time and was recently laughed at by Fox, saying that is just hilarious, that is the best rumor they've heard so far, completely not true. Although they won't tell us who she's playing, we believe she's now one of the Marauders, Arclight. For those of you not familiar with Arclight, she's similar to Avalanche. But we don't know. She may not be Arclight either. Also, Ken Leung, who some of you might know from the movie Saw, is definitely in the movie along with Omahira as one of the Brotherhood, and we believe he is Sunfire. I do, anyway. But as far as we know, he could be Blob. We just don't know. They won't tell us. The most interesting one that we have no idea who she is playing is Beverly Mayhood. If you go to xmenfilms.net and the bottom of their cast list, they got Beverly Mayhood, and I looked her up. This was, it's been on their site since their cast list was up. And I looked her up, and she is a singer. Huh? And she's blonde. Huh? And she looks like Dazzler. So I'd say there's a good sign that we'll see Dazzler either in the deleted scenes of the X3 DVD like we did Jubilee, or she will be somewhere in the movie, probably as a cameo. There will be lots and lots of cameos. Some of them might not make the cut. Some of them might be on the DVD deleted scenes only. We will find out. Also, I went to imdb.com recently just for kicks, because they're just kind of ridiculous when it comes to pre- and post-production movies. They have Desiree Zarowski as Jean Grey's mom, so that's new. So we definitely know that there will be a Jean Grey flashback scene. Superhero Hype has recently unleashed a preview of X-Men: The Official Game, which will give insight into what the hell happened to Nightcrawler. Everyone wants to know, why is he not in the film? Well, play the game and you shall find out what happened to Nightcrawler after X2. Also, in the game will be Deathstrike. And you're thinking to yourself, she's dead. She's definitely dead. Apparently she's invincible, maybe a god, and she will be in the game, and she's alive. And now for the best news of the week. Under that same section in X-Men films, they talk about Beast and Angel being on the team, and their response is they will both join the team at one point in the film, but you'll get to see Beast don an early X-Men uniform, complete with blacks and yellows. And that's just awesome, because I personally think him with the leather pants is really ridiculous. And that wraps it up for this section of the news.
Welcome to Cerebro.
Welcome to Cerebro.
It certainly is a big round room.
In this section, we highlight one character and tell you about it. This week, I will be highlighting Jean Grey/Phoenix, as she is my favorite character. Jean Grey was born to John and Elaine Grey. She also had an older sister named Jean. Powers manifested when her best friend Annie was hit by a car. And then she psionically linked herself to Annie's mind, and the trauma from that haunts her still today. And it nearly killed her and left her in a coma. For 3 years, her parents sought the expertise of specialists to rouse Jean out of her coma, but only Charles Xavier could help. Xavier got her out of the coma and then mentally blocks on there, so she wouldn't ever do that again. After help of Xavier, Jean Grey would develop her power of telekinesis at the age of 13. Jean Grey and Scott Summers had a romance, but neither were aware of the other's feelings. Psyche was afraid to get close to anyone, lest his powers hurt that person. He also felt that he was no match for Angel, whom Jean was dating at this time. Jean once had a date with Angel, but insisted on taking Scott along, which confused and frustrated both men. Jean eventually left to enlist in Metro College, where she continued to assist the X-Men on a regular basis, but did not live at the X-Mansion anymore. Jean would later design new uniforms for the team. Jean and Scott, they were in love with each other and started dating openly. Many months later, after Xavier had recruited a new team of X-Men to save from Krakoa, most senior members left, as did Jean, who involuntarily found herself attracted to Wolverine. Later, while meeting with Scott, she was abducted by Sentinels along with Wolverine and Banshee. They were taken to a space station in orbit around Earth. The other X-Men later came and rescued them. During the destruction of the space station, the X-Men and some astronauts managed to take a shuttle in order to escape. The shuttle was damaged, breaking away from the space station. It left a largely unshielded part, except for the interior of a space probe and the shuttle's cargo, during one of the worst solar storms in history. A decision was made that someone should stay at the controls and pilot the ship. Knowing nobody else had the chance of surviving long enough to pilot the ship to safety, genius telepathy to absorb Peter Corbeau's piloting knowledge and planned her telekinetic shield to screen out the radiation as she piloted the ship back to Earth. Psych attempted to stop her and...
Jean?
She was a mental bolt to stun him. Yes! Jean would die, but she piloted the ship to safety. The shuttle crashed in Jamaica Bay. Everybody lived except for Jean. Everybody thought she was dead. But then Jean rose out of the remnants of the shuttle and was like, "Oh, I am Phoenix." It was later revealed that Jean's body was actually placed in a helicocoon in the depths of Jamaica Bay, and the Phoenix Force helped Jean psionically clone a new body using her genetic template, and then referred almost all of Jean's mind and soul into the cosmically created clone's body. Since the Phoenix Force replicated Jean's body so perfect, not even Professor Rex could detect the difference between Jean and the Phoenix. Nice job, Phoenix. As Phoenix, Jean's psi powers became stronger and stronger, and they were backed by the sun itself. And she began to manifest a bird-shaped energy aura whenever she used her powers. The Phoenix continued her relationship with Psych. And then the Phoenix was able to display her awesome powers when the Shire threatened to destroy the universe. She later lost control of her powers and became the Dark Phoenix, attacking her friends and teammates, and destroyed the Dabari Star after being manipulated by Mastermind. Jean was able to regain sanity long enough to commit suicide in the blue area of the moon, rather than risk becoming Dark Phoenix again and killing anyone else. After killing herself on the moon, Jean Grey would wake up in the afterlife. Jean Grey is sent back to life, and her soul is returned to her original body in the cocoon, which is almost fully healed. But a fragment of Jean's soul that remains in her original radiation poison body rejected the memories of Dark Phoenix. Jean Grey has the power of telekinesis and telepathy. So, she has the Phoenix Force. She's exceptionally powerful. She is powered by the sun itself, which is why she would own Storm easily. I had to throw that in there. That lengthy thing was a short summary of Jean Grey's life. That is the end of Cerebro. Oh, and also, I want to thank Wikipedia because I got all my information on Jean Grey there. That is the end of Cerebro. Thank you. Welcome to the Fanterview section of the X-Cast.
Hello. Hello.
This is where we interview a devoted fan of the X-Men. Maybe not of the X-Cast, but of the X-Men.
Yeah, while the professor's away, the kids can play.
And play it loud.
Today, we are here with the queen of the internet, Kitty Pryde. Oh, not Kitty Pryde. Kitty Pryde's an idiot.
I think we should just leave that in. Queen of the internet, Kitty Pryde.
Okay. Anyway, we're here with Kat.
Say hello to your adoring fans,
hello.
Kat.
Okay.
Kat, it's lovely for you to be here. I'm sure that everyone gets bored of our voices on X-Cast, and we've only had one episode. So, it's nice to have someone new.
Yeah, it's nice to be here. I really enjoyed the first X-Cast, so I really like being part of this one. That is, if we can get this fans review to work.
Do you think that there are different Marvel universes, or do you think Spider-Man, the Fantastic Four, and X-Men are all in the same Marvel universe?
Well, from what I know, it seems like many times they're all in the same Marvel universe because they have all sorts of crossovers and everything.
No. Oh, I know that they're in the same universe in the comics because they team up with the Avengers even sometimes. I meant movieverse, because it doesn't seem like there's a lot of crossover in the movieverse.
I think it would be kind of silly if they did crossovers in the movieverse.
Even though, you know, James Marsden kind of does cameo in Superman, even though he's DC.
Yeah, but he doesn't cameo as Cyclops.
Oh, okay. I didn't know.
I guess it's too expensive to do crossovers in the movieverse. I mean, it's all well and good in comics to just, like, draw Spider-Man in the background of an X-Men comic, but you can't really do that in films. So what were your initial thoughts on X-Men 3? How do you think the film's been put together from all the production news that we've heard and stuff like that?
Well, some things sound good, some things don't. For example, the script reviews, they really give a bad light to the movie. I think a lot of the script reviews, it seems like they have lots of information that might be real, but they just, the opinions really cloud over there, you know, people giving their opinions and casting a really bad light on the movie. But if you just get rid of all the opinions, it seems that the plot is pretty good, it's pretty interesting. You know, with, usually they mix in the Sentinels and Dark Phoenix and how everything happens. She goes into the Brotherhood. There's even a certain script review that says that during a big part of the movie, she thinks she's a little girl. And so Magneto is easily manipulates her. And I thought that kind of sounded interesting.
That does sound interesting.
So, that was preferably before you saw the trailer. Is that what your initial thoughts were on the movie?
Well, actually, those script reviews came out after I saw the trailer. Well, some of them came out.
See, this is why I don't do the news.
Anyway, Kat, how do you feel about the latest rumors, such as Sentinels? Do you think Sentinels will be in the movie?
Yeah, I think they will be in the movie, but I have the idea they might only be in the Danger Room because the plot seems kind of too big and complicated already to put Sentinels in there. I mean, there's already Dark Phoenix and the Brotherhood and the Cure, and then there's rumors of the Legacy Virus, and it just seems Sentinels would be too much. Maybe they would have a very small role, or maybe they'll only appear in the Danger Room.
So, when you saw the trailer, what were your initial thoughts on the trailer? Any words, that any sound effects that sprung to mind once seeing the trailer? Maybe?
I really liked the trailer, yeah. I really liked it. It was nice to see the fastball special in there, and what looked to be the Danger Room. I thought for a teaser trailer, it was really long. It seemed almost like a full trailer, because it gave away lots of stuff, you know, like when Magneto was talking about the Cure. That's pretty much gives away a big part of the plot right there. Also, it raises lots of questions, like the funeral. Who is the funeral for? Although I think it might just be a memorial for Jean.
We see a lot of new mutants in this film. New people, new cast members, people who've been replaced from the last film. Well, what are your thoughts?
I hope everybody gets enough screen time. I hope they just don't have a whole bunch of characters and have to spread the time between them, and nobody gets enough time. So I hope many of them will just be kind of minor characters, just background characters or cameos or something, because otherwise the movie just seems like it's going to be really crowded.
Do you think that there's a mutant that you would have liked to seen in the films that didn't make it into the cut? Well, we don't know. We don't know who is actually in it, but someone who we haven't had confirmed, would you have liked to see?
No, not really. I've been all right with the movie so far and the characters that they have, because I understand they can't put everybody in there, but I think they've made it work with all the characters that they've placed in, although it would have been nice if some of the characters, the less popular characters, would be replaced with more popular characters or some of the original team members. Although I think all of the original team members are already in the movie, aren't they?
Yep, they're all in X-Men 3, which I
guessed Gambit.
There. No, Gambit's not original X-Men. Gambit wasn't introduced until the early 90s in the comics.
Whatever.
In fact, Kitty Pryde was even before Gambit. Yeah, so all the original X-Men are in it. We've got Jean, Cyclops and Iceman, who have been in it since movie 1, and now we've got the addition of Angel and Beast in X-Men 3, so that makes up the original X-Men there. Kat, what are your thoughts on the new mutants introduced that seem to have a prominent role in X-Men 3, such as Beast and Angel, being publicised a lot? And Kitty, but she's not new.
The choice for casting? The casting choice of them?
We can go for the casting choice, or the choice of the characters from the expansive range of X-Men which are available to you. I mean, it's like a supermarket.
Well, I really like them. I'm glad that they're in X-Men 3. Angel's wings just look really, really nice. And I think Kelsey Grammer for Beast is also a really good choice. I've seen him in the costume and he looks all right also. I just don't like his hair.
I don't like his hair either. It looks like he's wearing a big woolly jumper. So you like the looks of them. I mean, Angel looks really pretty and Beast looks all right. So what do you think about the choice of the actual characters of Beast and Angel, introducing them this far on?
Well, X-Men 1 and X-Men 2, obviously they couldn't get all the original characters in there, and I liked it how they introduced the characters little by little, and each movie had more X-Men, because introducing them all together would just be a big mess, I think. And people, non-fans, were already complaining about the movie, that it had too many characters, that it was hard to remember who had what powers and everything. So, it's kind of sad that they can't all be in the movie, but still, it's nice to have them finally. Better than nothing, I guess.
And here's the other age-old question, which, what happens to a toad when it's struck by lightning?
I am not going to repeat that very cheesy line.
It's a good cheesy line, though. It's a good cheesy line. Well, thank you very much, Kat, for this lovely interview. I'm sure Phoenix, if he's here still, are you here?
I think that means no.
Interview with your final thoughts on X-Men 3, Kat, please.
That I hope that Professor Xavier does not die.
That's a good final thought.
Yes.
And, well, thank you very much for this interview.
Yeah, it was very nice to be here. Well, no, not really, but I have to say that, don't I?
Yes, your check's in the mail.
Oh, okay, thanks.
You could be on it next week. Just contact us at www.invertistripes.com, and maybe next week you could be expressing your views about X-Men, the X-Men world, X-Men 3, and maybe X-Cast. You can complain about us. We don't mind. So, that's all for the fan interview this week.
Quote of the week.
Yes, welcome to Quote of the Week, which is... This is my favourite part of the entire X-Cast. So, last week, we had the wonderful quote that was...
Hello, I'm Charles Xavier. Would you like some breakfast?
And, we haven't really received anything about how you all got on with that yet, but it's early days. So, I looked through the DVDs, I have scoured the films to try and find an interesting, informative quote for you all to try and adapt into your general conversation this week, and I decided to pick a classic among X-Men fans.
And here it is.
Do you know what happens to a toad when it's struck by lightning?
Well, now that was a brilliant quote, eh?
Yes, it was. It's the classic. Do you know what happens to a toad when it's struck by lightning?
The same thing as everything else. Alright.
What intrigues me about this quote is that we can answer the age-old question, what does happen to a toad when it's struck by lightning?
He turns into a prince.
Maybe he turns into the prince formerly known as Stacey X, formerly known as Arclight. That would be a hint.
I personally think when a toad gets struck by lightning, Skittles. You get Skittles. You know, you can taste the rainbow.
Shameless, we're just advertising everything. We should get free Skittles for that.
But back to the quote.
All right, this is basically the same challenge as last time. If you have to get this into general conversation, you know, just be talking to your friends and be like, hey, you know what happens to a toad that gets struck by lightning? Or...
You'd get really stuck if they say, no, tell me, what does happen to a toad when it's struck by lightning? And you just go, and run off.
You remember that early 90s band Green Jelly?
Huh?
Yeah. I guess you guys don't remember the early 90s band Green Jelly. But that was from Toad getting struck by
maybe,
lightning.
Maybe survives. Healing factor.
Ugh. Go on. I'm not going to talk. I'm just going to sit here.
What? No. Okay, put your input in. What do you think would happen to a toad when it's struck by lightning?
Don't go into that, alright? For you, those of you who are daredevils out there, we have, again, an extreme challenge. Make up an awkward situation with this quote.
Well,
as in last time.
Okay.
Answer your teacher. Be like, your teacher's like, what is E equals MC squared? What does it stand for? And you're like, I don't know. What happens to a toad when it gets struck by lightning?
And then it bounces back when your teacher goes, okay, quick science lesson, everyone. Jimmy, turn down the lights, and gets out a whole PowerPoint presentation.
And of course brings out Blob.
If that does happen, can you email us and tell us what actually does happen? A copy of the presentation.
Real life. Experimentation. Stick your toad up on a lightning rod and wait for it to get struck. And then report back.
That'd be amazing, yes. If someone can formulate their own lightning storm at all, if you happen to be an old man living in a castle by yourself, which is prone to electric storms, maybe you're some kind of mad scientist. You could do this experiment for us. I'm sure it covers all the RSPCA laws because you're a mad scientist.
And you create unholy armies of the night.
I can just see it now. We're going to get an email. Hey, this little Ricky from Australia, I'm a Wolverine fan. And I tested with my toad and healing factor.
It's not moving at the moment, but I'm sure he's just resting.
Do you know what? I think we've cracked it. Do you know what does happen to a toad while it's struck by lightning? It just yells, Gene!
No, you know the answer to every question in life? It's 42.
That's it.
That's right.
42 is the answer.
It's a question to the life, the universe, and everything.
And what happens to a toad when it's struck by 42. Lightning?
42. Oh, here we go. Here's another crazy challenge for you. Can you outdo any of our suggestions that we've said today about what happens to a toad when it's struck by lightning? Do you consider yourself imaginative? Try and come up with something brilliant. Answer the age-old question for us. What does happen to a toad when it's struck by lightning? So, Storm said this wonderful quote. Let's hear it one more time because it's one of my personal favourites.
Do you know what happens to a toad when it's struck by lightning?
And that is the quote of the week for this week. Be sure to report back your findings on what does happen to a toad when it's struck by lightning.
And next week, if we get enough emails from you, we will do a top 10 of what actually does happen to a toad when it's struck by lightning.
Maybe we'll try and lightning a fire toad live on the podcast next week.
Okay, now we're done with the quote of the week. Goodbye. See you all.
Healing factor.
See ya. Oh God.
Nobel Peace Prize.
Now it's time for Spoiler Talk, discussing the latest rumors and speculation around X-Men 3, The Last Stand.
Why do you ask questions to which you already know the answers? Well, I am psychic, you know.
Welcome to Spoiler Talk!
This does have spoilers if you couldn't gather from the name.
If you didn't gather from the name, I suggest you pick up the keyboard in front of you and hit yourself with it.
Wow, I never knew British were so violent.
Well, if they can't get it from the blimmin' name, they might as well read a baby's first book.
And they're probably Gambit fans.
Or they could be Beast fans.
Oh, whoa. Whoa now. Hit yourself with the keyboard, bub.
I like it.
Healing factor.
The topic this podcast is the cure and death. Morbidity, woohoo! Sorry, morbidity is a word now.
Morbidity.
Anyway, what are your theories about the cure, both of you?
Well, I think the cure is not a cure entirely. They created it to try and cure them, but I don't think it's going to work. I think it's going to be the legacy virus, like they had in the comics, which didn't cure mutants, but just was a big disease that killed them, and they all died, and it was quite upsetting.
Colossus dies!
And Colossus dies trying to save everyone.
So he could be one of the deaths.
Yeah, that's what I think.
Poor Colossus. He's only gay for one thing.
Yeah, only for the Ultimate Universe. He's not going to flirt with Wolverine. Oh,
I know. I know.
But everyone else does, right?
Oh, apparently, yeah.
Colossus, he's not gay. Okay, what do you have to say, Beastie Boy?
Well, as I said last week, though no one heard me, I think that Mystique and the Cure and Apocalypse will all be tied in, and that eventually Angel and perhaps Beast will be forced to, or by their own choice, they will choose to take the Cure and become Horsemen, and Mystique will be behind the whole thing working for Apocalypse, as you saw in the old animated series.
Yes, where Mystique wore a weird dress with skulls on it.
And she was a cyan color.
I would say early morning sunrise.
Oh, the hilarity. My legacy virus view, sort of, it probably doesn't, and it's quite vague that I'm making these connections, tallies in with Moira McTaggart being in it.
Yes, yeah. I was thinking that too.
The oldie Scottishy lady.
I love Moira.
Moira McTaggart! That's me being Scottish.
Oh, that was pretty good.
Thank you very much.
Hey, I have to wonder, what would the X-Men be without Xavier? Some people are thinking X is one of the deaths.
Maybe they would just be the men. You know, he puts the X in there. It would just be the men.
They're all going to have to find a new house.
Yes.
Unless he left it to Jean.
Or Psyche.
I just wanted to say Jean. I don't know. If Professor Xavier dies, that might be like a hinting towards, yeah, this is it, fans. We're not making any more X-Men films. Deal with it.
But that would suck.
I think that there is a good chance that he will die. And for the future, I think they'll have another trilogy with either Magneto or perhaps Emma Frost.
Emma Frost.
Yeah. Because Magneto, he took hold of the New Mutants for a while whilst Xavier was... I think he was running around with his alien girlfriend, or he might have believed to be dead. I don't know. I'll have to check my facts.
And also, if they did have Magneto take over, people would want to see the Magneto movie even more when it comes out. I think it would give more importance to it.
Yeah.
Maybe.
Okay. Now, would you like to hear my theory on the cure?
No, not really.
Oh, fine.
And that's the end of spoiler talk.
No, that's not the end of spoiler talk, because I'm going to keep going anyway. All right. I believe that the cure is real.
It is, in fact, a cure.
It is, in fact, a cure. Not the legacy virus and not a hoax. And not an alien race either, as was previously suggested by Kitty.
Oh, no. I'll explain that in a minute. I'm not weird.
I think that it will be basically Rogue's choice that she will want to take the cure because she wants to be with Bobby, and Bobby is an idiot, and he wants to date Kitty, and, you know, whatever. He's just a common American teenager. Anyway, I think that's my view on the whole she is the end.
Yeah, I think this cure is going to be interesting for Rogue's character development. Like you said, it's going to be an emotional choice for her.
Okay, now explain the alien race.
Oh, the alien race thing. I think that they've taken this storyline of the cure from Joss Whedon's Gifted arc from Astonishing X-Men, where the cure, it's real, but it's supplied by this guy, an alien guy, because he thinks that a mutant's going to destroy the world. And they've got Dr. Kavita Rao in it.
Dr. Kevorkian, is that what you said?
Kavita Rao?
Yeah, that's it.
Oh!
You see, they've got her in the story arc, and the cure is real, and the government were trying to get it to pass, so all mutants had to take it, and Cyclops thought Jean was alive, but Colossus was alive. Oh, it was brilliant.
And Kavita Rao is, in fact, in the movie.
Kavita Rao is in the movie.
And no one really talks about, you know, what role she'll be playing.
Yeah, I'd never really heard of her before.
Yeah.
Like the movie.
She seemed to have a past with Beast in the comics.
So a lot of people speculate that Beast will be the one finding the cure and she will assist him with that?
Or maybe trying to stop the cure, because he's seen a lot on debating tables in the suit. Maybe he's doing the whole politics side of it, trying to stop the cure from being compulsory for mutants to take.
I think Jean Grey is the politician. No, she's dead. Never mind. I think it would be X that would be the politician, if anybody. X, you know, Xavier.
We don't see him a lot in the trailer, actually.
But we do see him in some of the recent pictures.
Oh, yeah, we do.
Yeah, but he talks like the entire trailer.
Also, about the cure, I've heard that perhaps the cure will be derived from Leech.
Yes, I've heard that as well. And it makes sense. Who do you think will die in X-Men 3?
Been predicted there's going to be two deaths. Do we know yes. that they're going to be X-Men or random Brotherhood goons? That weird manly lady. Maybe she will die. We can only hope.
The artist formerly known as Stacey X.
I don't think she is Stacey X.
That's why I say formerly known.
Formerly known as Stacey X, formerly known as Arclight, formerly known as Steve.
I don't understand how some people think that she is hot. She looks like a man.
She's got plastic hair, for crying out loud.
She looks like a G.I. Joe.
I think she walked onto the Superman set when they were doing hairstyling. Maybe she was looking for Cyclops. What were we talking about? Manly lady. Let's hope she dies.
Yes, she must die. And no one's talked about any Brotherhood members dying at all, or any bad guys.
I don't know.
No, they're only focusing on the X-Men characters. You know, someone from the Brotherhood might die.
You know what I think would be funny? If Wolverine died.
Well, he can't
die. Yeah,
that would be beastly.
Just name any death situation to a Wolverine fan, and he'll tell you how he will survive.
Healing factor. Universal answer.
But what if he's shot in the head and everywhere else by about 50 bullets? Healing factor!
What if we chopped him in half? Would that mean we'd get two Wolverines?
Ah!
No healing factor! Healing factor!
Also, I think it would be interesting if Rogue died.
That would be interesting.
Oh, that would be interesting.
That would be very dramatic. Very, very dramatic.
Tell us why, actually.
I don't know.
I don't think anyone would expect that at all.
Yeah, that would be a lovely surprise.
Yeah.
A lovely surprise. That's so mean.
Just a bit of sarcasm there.
I'm running low on vocabulary today. I'm just trying to... Any word that comes into my mind, I'm saying it.
But not many people have thought of Rogue dying. So, that would be interesting. It's just all Psych and Professor X.
In the latest review that came out, they talked about how Gambit, played by Roz Dagon, would save her in the final battle of the movie.
Also, I think it would be interesting if Magneto died.
Yeah.
Because he is such a main character in the film, and it would also open the door for, like, Apocalypse or somebody.
Right.
He's a bit worn out now, Magneto.
Yes, I know.
As the villain.
I still love him. Still, seriously, my favorite villain, like, anywhere ever besides the Phantom of the Opera. I think he's gotten a little worn out. A little worn down.
He is a little worn down, because what we saw in X-Men 2 is we saw the more human side of Magneto. You know, when he goes, Charles, I couldn't help myself, I told them everything. You saw that he does care. He's not entirely evil.
He truly believes that what he's doing is right.
Yeah.
He's trying to make peace, you know, in his own diabolical way.
I shall make peace by destroying the world.
And we will all live happily on...
Asteroid M.
Asteroid M.
We could go live with the Shire people. Yay.
He's just going to suddenly become Gandalf at the end with a big pipe. Well done, Pyro. Well done. We saved the day.
Pyro flames him. He's like, ah!
Okay, moving off from Lord of the Rings. Magneto. People might argue that, Magneto's not going to die because they're thinking of a Magneto spin-off film.
But the Magneto spin-off comes before the movies.
You think it's going to be, like, young Magneto?
Yes. And it's going to go through his life after the Nazis.
Well, so the other big rumored death is Cyclops. Good old Psyche. Scotty boy.
I just don't know about that.
I don't think so.
I mean, all signs point to yes, he's gonna die. But I think they're really screwing with our head and that he's not gonna die.
Yeah, so everything pointing to him dying means he's not gonna die.
Right.
Well, I formulated a strange little theory.
Let's hear it.
You know what we see in the trailer? We see Jean, she's woken up in the med room with Wolverine. I assume Wolverine's there. I think Wolverine is there, actually.
Yes, we've all seen the picture.
Yeah. Of course, she would be crying because Wolverine's there. And she put through a meat grinder, but he's alive.
Healing factor!
So, this is what I thought. Maybe it's based on that I was watching Lost last night. I'm not sure. That she's crying because maybe she goes like, where's Scott? I love him. Get me Scott.
And this is after she makes out with Wolverine.
Oh, I don't know. Oh, stupid Wolverine make-out scene. He tricked her. I think that this crying would be looking for him, but he's gone up to Alkali Lake to go to yell Jean for a bit, because, you know, that's right. What he does. That's what he does for his spare time. Cyclops has gone up to Alkali Lake, not knowing that Jean is back at the mansion. This is what I think, anyway. But there's something at the lake which could hurt Scott or something, like the presence of the Phoenix Force or something. I don't know. Maybe that's too comic booky. Maybe it's too soap opery.
Yeah, it's Scott. Nobody's gonna care.
I think soap opery is what they're going for. What Ratner's going for.
More emotional than action.
Right. More drama. He's all about the drama.
See, I like that. I like that. I can't stand mindless action. For the drama side of it. You know, getting to know the characters a bit better. Because then you care about them within the action. And it's not mindless action. It's action that you want to see the outcome.
Mind
you want your
violence.
Character to survive. That's why the drama is important, and I think that's what Ratner is trying to go for, to care for the characters.
Right, which is good. I think the fight scene between Iceman and Pyro, you know, for that reason right there, as they were friends, will be great.
Yeah, not just the fact it's fire versus ice, but the fact that Pyro chose the dark side, and as well, we had that little emotional moment with Pyro in the second film with the picture. An Iceman, that he was jealous of his family, and
I thought your mom told you not to play with fire. No, John, that's what she told you.
Wow. Okay.
Of course, then his lighter fluid runs out and...
Magneto, I need some more. More?
He's run out of matches, so he gives him two dry sticks. And Pyro's there on the sidelines of the battle going, come on, remember Boy Scouts!
Oh yeah, I forgot. They kicked me out when they knew I was mutant. That was the day before we learned fire.
Then what he does is he runs a stone across Lady Man's hair, which is plastic. That sets alight. Fire. Fantastic.
That's her role in the movie.
She's kindling.
You can start laughing now.
Sorry, it's just her mutant name, Kindling. That's funny.
You can imagine him in that campfire scene. Pyro, go gather Kindling. Comes in with her. Fantastic. It's at a time like this when I think we should have all had input on the X3 script.
Of course.
Absolutely.
See, why doesn't Fox listen to our X-Cast? The movie would be so much better.
You know, they might, actually. They do. They do go to all the sites and pick up all the rumors and stuff.
Okay. The big rumored deaths are Professor Xavier, Cyclops, Magneto is one of them.
And Mystique.
Mystique, yes. We haven't talked about Mystique.
Other than the fact that she...
Early morning sunrise.
I love the fact we quote our own podcast.
Several times.
We're so cool.
Of course.
So Mystique, she's going to die. How is Mystique
going to
die?
I don't think she's going to die. I think she's going to be given the cure.
She could get shot.
Personally. Or as you said, that it's a ploy that she's going to pretend she's cured.
Right.
For the whole...
I mean, she can do that. She's Mystique. She did it in the last movie.
She's a bit crafty.
She can just morph and become somebody, you know, and make other people believe that. It wouldn't be difficult for her at all.
No.
See, now that would be an interesting movie, a Mystique spin-off.
I think so, too. I think they should definitely do a Mystique spin-off.
It would touch up
on Nightcrawler and maybe Destiny. There's a lot they could do with that.
Yeah, they could do the whole rogue Nightcrawler thing. One scene, which is relevant to the deaths in the trailer.
One scene.
Which is the memorial / funeral.
Ah!
Oh, yes.
Excellent. Excellent.
I think it's just a memorial for Jean. That's all I think it is.
Yeah, because then if it's not a memorial, then it limits that one of the deaths. It has to be an X-Man.
Yes.
If there is a death.
There's key people that we do not see in that scene or any of the pictures of that scene.
Psych and...
You know, Scott, Xavier, and Jean.
Yeah.
And who?
Jean!
Jean!
Well, obviously, she's not there. She's dead.
So Jean's dead.
Yes.
And... I assume that Scott is out at Alkali Lake saying, Gene! During the memorial.
Yeah.
And I think...
And perhaps Xavier's in the background.
Is just not in that picture. He's there, but we just can't see him.
Perhaps behind Storm.
Yeah, he wheels in. Dramatic entrance. You know, he likes that sort of
thing.
I mean,
he can't really stand up, you know.
I think he's just hidden somewhere. He's still there.
I mean, he's in a wheelchair. He's going to be a little harder to spot.
Or, you know, that this death might be, trying to back up my legacy virus theory, I will make you believe it all. One of the students in the mansion, maybe they acquire the legacy virus, that's why all the student body is there, because maybe one of the students dies. Maybe someone completely relevant dies. Maybe, because this is what I think, because, I don't know, maybe I'm a big Kitty Colossus fan, so anything to do with Kitty Colossus, I try and get into the film. Colossus' sister, she died quite dramatically of the legacy virus in the comics. And there's this girl in the trailer who people think
the pigtails
is...
The girl.
Yeah, the one with the incredibly large forehead.
Big forehead girl.
It's rumoured that she might... Well, it's just people jumping to conclusions that she might be Ilyana.
That was me, the
was
one
it?
That mentioned that.
Oh, was it you?
That she might be Ilyana.
Yeah, well, I think that's a possibility because she looks Russian.
Yeah, she does.
Not that Russians have big foreheads. I'm not saying that...
Colossus doesn't look Russian.
Just she has an incredibly large one. It's the hair as well. It's like the hair is twice as big as the forehead. She's like hiding a sausage in it. Like salami or something.
That was what I would say to French people. It was mean.
What? Don't you hide sausages in your hair?
No, I don't.
Maybe that is her mutant power. That she can create sausages from her forehead and project them. There's a big bear chasing them. She can just create meat and throw it. There we go.
She's the mortal enemy to every vegetarian.
Eat meat, damn it! Speaking of wild animals and meat, I think maybe because I am a Wolfsbane fan, that she might have a cameo in the film.
That'd be great.
Because Moira's there.
And how cool would that be to see a werewolf? Just one quick scene, you know, at the end or something. This little girl turn into a big werewolf, that'd be great.
Okay.
Hey, do you know what would be interesting to have die? Storm?
Oh, yeah.
Eh, not gonna happen.
Well,
they couldn't really kill Storm and Cyclops and Professor Xavier, because they're the leaders. Who would take
over?
Okay,
let's just kill Storm.
Let's just kill everybody.
Yeah, there's a big earthquake and they all die. That's a way to end all the X-Men films.
Hmm.
And then at the end, you can just have one hand to the rubble, and we'll have to guess who the hand is.
You know, that San Francisco, that is along the fault line there. I mean, if he messed with the whole bridge, you know, maybe, you know, big earthquake.
Oh, God. Now we're getting into the scientific part of X-Men.
I'm a Beast fan. I have to
Do
get into the scientific part
why there are mutations? Because the mutants. Because the mutation's in the gene. And they got an X-ray. And the gene's mutated. And they got special powers, like controlling the weather with their mind.
I love it when they try to explain the superpower scientifically. Well, what happens is that she has the ability to repel all the molecules in her body, therefore making them vibrate at a high speed, allowing the molecules to create space between them so that she may pass through the molecules in walls.
Oh, right. So how do you explain Wolverine? Healing factor.
Healing factor. He can heal anything, eh?
Healing factor.
Science brief. Did you know that it is technically possible to walk through walls?
Yeah, I just explained that.
I suppose Juggernaut does it quite well.
No, I mean pass through walls without touching them, like Kitty Pryde.
Really? Hang on, let me just get a pen and paper.
Oh, God.
Well, I know anyway, because, you know, I apparently am Kitty Pryde.
All right. Well, to go on, the way you do it, it's impossible to do, but technically it can be done. If you line the molecules in your body up perfectly so that they pass through the wall, the molecules of the wall, you can walk through it. It's technically possible.
So it's technically possible if you are...
Oh, do you know how else you can walk through walls? Is that you what you got to do is you got to concentrate on your hand, you see, as you pull down the handle and open the door.
Wow.
Whoa, whoa, whoa. One more time? I'm going to write that down.
Okay, yeah. That's concentrate with your hand. You got that?
Okay. Wait. Concentrate with hand.
Push down the handle.
And how am I going to know that I'm touching the handle?
Well, there's leverage there. Leverage. Note that down.
Leverage.
That's leverage.
Okay.
I think it's called and leverage.
You open and there should be a space.
Now do I push or pull?
Yeah, you got that? You got all that?
I gave up. That's pretty complicated.
Only your next cast, people. How to walk through walls.
Yes, I think finally we are done. Oh, God. Anyway, we're done. Goodbye.
That's the end of spoiler talk.
Welcome to Mutant Mail. This is where you guys can interact with us by doing the quote of the week or just sending us your comments on the latest X-Cast. What do we have this week, Kitty?
Well, this week we have 4 voicemails that we've selected and several emails about the X-Cast. We've had nothing about the quote of the week. Maybe they just couldn't handle it. They couldn't take the heat.
It's too extreme.
It's too extreme. They're not crazy enough. Should we get right onto the voicemails?
Yes, sure.
Hey guys, there's Man Extreme. And I just wanted to ask the question. Do you think Iceman is going to end up with Kitty, or will he end up with Rogue? What are your thoughts? This is saying hi from Ireland to all you X-Cast listeners, and we'll speak to you next time.
Hey, oh, I like Irish people. That was Iceman Extreme from Ireland. And that was an interesting question he posed about Kitty and Rogue. Who's Bobby going to have? What are your thoughts, Phoenix?
I'm going to go with neither.
Neither?
Keep it closer to the comicness. What do you think?
I really don't know, actually, because I think that it is going to be Rogue in the end, because I like Iceman and Rogue in the film. I know that many people don't, and they want Gambit, but Gambit's not in it. So I like Iceman and Rogue. The only time when Kitty and Iceman have had a brief fling with each other is they have one kiss in Ultimate X-Men, and then Kitty gets punched in the face.
On to the next one, please.
It's not a question or suggestion. It's to say, well done, a fantastic X-Cast, my favourite line of which has to be, ginger people are entertaining, because being kind of ginger myself, I really appreciated that. I can't wait to listen again, and maybe one day my voice will be on the X-Cast, because that will make me so pleased and proud and happy. Congratulations, you two. Lots of love, Ava Megan.
I'm glad someone likes our stupid comments. I didn't even realise I said ginger people are entertaining. Thanks to you, Ava Megan. And that's another English person who has got to be on the X-Cast. That levels it out a bit. Thanks to you. And thanks for the saying we did a good job, because really, we weren't sure.
Also, I'd like to make an announcement. We need a staff on the X-Cast. We need two editors, a general manager and a transcript writer. I think I've got a good idea who our transcript writer and our general manager is. I just haven't asked. That's what I got to say. All right, what's the next?
Congratulations, guys! I love the X-Cast. Yeah, really want to hear more about that. So keep it coming. I'm Darky, by the way.
Thanks to you, Dark Phoenix, for sending us a lovely congratulations voicemail. You are, in fact, the first voicemail we got since X-Cast 1 came out. So that's rather special to us, don't you think, Phoenix?
I do.
I've got one more for you, which it's scary in a way. It scared me. From this guy, I don't think he even knew what X-Cast was, but he left us a voicemail, which was rather considerate of him.
Hi. And bye.
See how scary it is? That's the scariest laugh I ever did hear. It's like...
It is scary.
Like... It terrified and frightened me. Can you outdo this scary laugh? Voicemail in, and we'll do a competition.
Okay. I've got something I would like to share.
Oh, please! Share away.
It's more of an apology than a compliment. I said, hey, no offense, but something about the X-Cast, you guys put it out. It's freaking awesome, and I loved it. Loved it when Kitty did her imitation of Jean. When you guys were talking about the posters, but yeah. Anyway, the reason I PM'd you is because I would like it if you would stop using the word gay as in stupid. Like, when I say, like, that's gay. I'm really sorry about that. It's just second nature to me. It's just a word I say, and if you haven't noticed, this, X-Cast isn't scripted at all, and if I offended anyone, I'm sorry. Okay, on a happier note, what else do you got there, Kitty?
Well, we had an email from The Canadian saying, a very funny podcast, keep up the great work. Do you guys think that Jean Phoenix is going to have a face-off with each X-Men? I would like to hear your thoughts on that. Can't wait for the next podcast. Do you think Jean Phoenix is going to have a face-off against the X-Men? I think I can guess your answer.
Yep. I hope so. It would be brilliant.
Maybe not every single one. One-on-one, maybe a few select ones, one-on-one, and just hit the others with a stick. We have one of my personal favourite emails, where it says, I'm particularly fond of Kitty Pryde's voice.
Ugh.
We've had many strange descriptions of who I sound like. Some people say I sound like Lara Croft.
You don't sound like Lara Croft.
No, I don't.
You sound like a Brit.
Oh, well, yeah. I don't sound like American. So I think that really concludes our mutant mail.
We've a little bit of news. The X-Cast should be coming out much more promptly for the next episodes, because we have found a way to not have to transfer files between our computers, which was the real problem with the X-Cast.
And Pathmaster likes to be around a bit more now.
Yes.
Which is good.
The X-Cast will be up on Podomatic because the brilliant Kitty Pryde is nice enough to pay fee for it. So if you guys could maybe donate a little to keep us on the air because we really have nowhere else to go, that'd be great. But,
also,
you know, whatever.
You may see us floating around Podcast Alley. And on Podcast Alley, they have this voting system where you can get on the top 10 podcasts. Would be nice in our short little podcast life if we could get on that top 10. So vote for us, please.
Shameless advertising ever end.
Of course it won't.
I think that about concludes this mutant mail section. Goodbye.
That is the end of XCast episode 2. We've got 2 episodes. That's more than 1. How did this happen?
And we're well on our way to 3.
We are well on our way to 3. That's amazing.
Feedback. Send us feedback. Feedback.
No, this X-Cast nearly didn't go out episode 1 because I was sat there. It was 3 o'clock in the morning. Obviously, it was a nice, lovely time for Phoenix Force. And I was sat there going, should I post it? I finished it. Should I put it on? And then he was just, I don't know. And then we did. And chaos broke loose.
And we've had how many listeners so far?
We've had over 1,400 listeners.
Yes! That is success right there. But we need more feedback.
It's just me every day listening to it. Listening to it 100 times every day.
I'll tell you, I've only listened to it once. But...
So, yes, this is the end of X-Cast. I hope you all enjoyed it. It was quite exciting, I think, this one. Some new segments. And that was due to someone who wrote in to us. Please write in to us.
Yes, we are very open-minded.
Yes.
So feel free to flame us or, you know, exalt or smite, whatever you choose.
Okay, yes, this X-Cast is interactive. As it says in our little introductory paragraph, join the mutants on the air. Well, we've had a few emails, but we want more. We're greedy. We thrive. How we live in our life. Oh, that's an exciting thing for next week. We're using real names.
Yes. Oh, Pathmaster is not my real name.
Really? My real name's Kitty Pryde.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, I've also got a new character to unleash upon you.
Who?
That was recently released in an interview. But I'm not going to tell you until next week, so make sure you stay tuned.
You're going to tell me now, right?
I could tell you, but then they'd hear. Okay, earmuffs, everyone. Earmuffs. I'm going to tell Kitty.
Shh.
None of you can hear.
Whisper it, whisper it.
His or her name. I'm sorry, wait. His or her name.
Right.
Is Quills.
Ah, yes. Yes, I've heard about that.
Yes. It's very exciting. And that could be Kin Leung. We do not know.
It could be. Although...
And, he had his own trailer. They said, while Iceman and Pyro were sharing halves of a trailer. Ironically, I think that's funny. He had his own trailer, so maybe it's a big role. I don't know.
Maybe it is. Well, yeah, he is quite freaky looking, so he might have to take the cure, don't take the cure. Maybe he's cured first. And everyone's like, oh yes, look, he was cured by the cure. Everyone take the cure. That's my cameo role in X-Men 3. Oh look, he's cured. Let's get him!
Hey look everybody, he was cured by the cure.
Just in the crowd.
The voice behind the tall guy. Hey look everybody! Who said that? I think it was that tall guy. You just see a hand behind him. No, me.
Let's all do what the tall guy says.
Yeah, so that's the end of the show.
Yes, it is. Again, there are... I can't believe that we've actually got to episode 2, as I never thought episode 1 would get together.
You doubted us, Kitty?
I doubted myself.
Oh, why would you do that?
Because it's up to me to put it all together.
Oh, yeah, I suppose.
Once it's all recorded, you know, that's all fine. You can lay back. Your job's done.
I'm just a henchman.
I just
talk.
Come in, demand lots of... demands like only blue M&Ms and
right.
Like a cat to stroke after every 2 minutes. A glass of fresh water from a mountain handed to you by an orphan children in rags, blue rags.
That is awesome. You couldn't be more right on.
There are many, many ways to get in contact with the XCast. In fact, maybe if you've got this lovely program called Skype and we're recording, you can give us a ring. You might be on it. Why not? That'd be fun, wouldn't it?
That's a great idea.
Yeah. Just, if you just ring up whilst we're recording, you can just be on it.
It's that easy, folks.
Yep. We're quite laid back, mainly because we don't know what we're talking about half the time and really need some new input. If you're Marvel or Fox, please get in contact with us.
Please.
Right now. You can email us. You can email the Phoenix Force at invertedstripes.com. That is for the Phoenix Force. You can email him. Say hi. Maybe send him... Send all the complaints to the Phoenix Force at invertedstripes.com.
He's actually looking forward to it. He told me that earlier today.
He thrives on disappointment. It's what keeps him alive. If you want to make the Phoenix Force's day, send him an email. You can email me, which is jess@invertedstripes.com.
So we're unleashing the real names, are we?
And you can voicemail us. Oh, by all means, voicemail us. It makes our day when we get voicemails. Even if they are from me, we'll be surprised that there are voicemails from me going, "Hello, I'm voicemailing myself. What a kerfuffle," and then hanging up. Yes, we are that desperate.
We really are. But you can help us with that problem.
Yes, you can, by sending us voicemails. Our voicemail numbers, we had a bit of trouble with voicemail numbers, actually, but that's all being resolved.
It has been.
It has. Has it?
Oh, fantastic.
It has, yeah, it has, it has. I think.
And have the people that were trying to get a hold of us gotten a hold of us since then?
As well, if you have this wonderful program Skype, you can leave a voicemail to us for free by just entering in the Skype name KittyPride24601. That's KittyPride24601. And just leave a voicemail there. That should be good. And you can ring us. Our numbers are on invertedstripes.com. Click on XCast.
Okay, well.
So,
I guess.
So we got
yes,
a good show.
It will
next
be
week.
Even
good
better.
Show.
They will continue to get better each and every time you listen.
Hopefully, as the film draws near, the shows get better. I don't know what we're gonna do after the film. Just shrivel up and die somewhere. By emailing us, you immediately put yourself in the hat to be in the fan interview. Fan interview where you can actually be on the XCast and have your say. You can tell us to shut up and. You know, I love Gambit and Wolverine.
Yes, you can get on and tell us off. How fun would that be?
Get yourself signed up for the fan interview. Just by all means, get in contact with us. So, this is quite dragged on a bit because we're Phoenix Forceless this time. And I'm sure he will say goodbye from inside his heart for episode 2 of XCast. I'm Kitty Pride and this is the end.
Goodbye. Cue the music.
We're too late.
Yeah, too bad we missed it.
We have to go now.
Why?
Now.